Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David is with us every month to talk about our Constitution, which is really the foundation of our freedom. People don't understand that America is really no different than any other country. Lots of countries have beautiful mountains and have open plains and have lots of people in it with lots of ability and skill. But America is different than other countries, because we have a Declaration of Independence, which is really the preamble to the Constitution, and a Constitution that limits the power of government so that men could be free. Or at least at one time it limited the power of government. However, there is a group of very evil and wicked people who have worked for many years, for generations, to convince us that America is a democracy, which it is not. You can read every one of the state constitutions. Never once used the word democracy, because, of course, they're all republics, and you can read the Declaration and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Federalist Papers. And they all say one thing: we do not want a democracy. We want a republic, and America's a republic. But it doesn't matter. The evil people took control of our educational system and the media and convinced most people that America is a democracy. And whatever the majority of the people want to do, that's perfectly all right. Even if they want to vote themselves into tyranny under our pre-existing system, under the legal law of the United States, which is still the Constitution, which has never been legally amended, why, of course, the power of the central government is limited, and most of what Congress does is unconstitutional, and there's not one person in a thousand who really understands our Constitution, which is why what David Whitney, what Pastor David Whitney, of the Institute of the Constitution and the staff there, why are they doing it so vitally important? David, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, welcome, Dr. Stan. It's always a blessing to be on your program, because these truths, as you say, are so vitally important for Americans to grasp and to understand that the design of our Constitution was to limit, to restrict the federal government to a very few defined areas, as Federalist Paper 45, written by James Madison, who's rightly called the father of our Constitution. Certainly he should know the purpose of the Constitution. He talked about the federal government have very few defined limited powers, and then the state governments having wide-ranging powers that relate to life, liberty, property, all the things that really are of great concern to the individual citizens. The federal government just dealing with those things primarily that were external issues of war and making a peace treaty or trade agreements and that sort of thing that are external. Of all the internal affairs of the country would be dealt with by the states and not the federal government.
David, are you on a regular telephone? We have a little echo here. And
I am.
Why don't you hang up, and I'll have
sure.
my producer call you right back.
Thanks.
Because what you're saying is so vitally important, and we certainly want to get a good, clear line. So I'll ask my producer if he'll just call our guest back again, see if we can get a better line. Because basically what David Whitney was talking about was the 45th of the Federalist Papers, which specify that the functions of the federal government are limited and defined. And those are his words. The things that the state government can do are unlimited and ill-defined. The Constitution was a limitation on the power of the central government, not, of course, a limitation on the power of the state governments. And so you have to understand what this is really all about. Our founding fathers feared that power in the hands of a distant authority like the federal government would eventually end up in tyranny. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and hopefully we'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney as we're getting him on the line, just to make sure we have a much better tone than we had in radio. We've got to get the best possible communication, because it can be rather bothersome for our listeners. And I want you to hear very carefully what David talks about, because this is the very essence of what our Constitution is about. The Constitution was designed to put chains on the government. In fact, as Thomas Jefferson said so well, in matters of government, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. David, are you there?
Yes, and, you know, in this debate about the health care, one of the things that I know that my senator, hard to call him my senator, he certainly doesn't represent me or even the state of Maryland, but as well as many other people around the country, senators and congressmen, have all said that, oh, of course there's provision in the Constitution for us to deal with health care. It's right there in Article 1, Section 8, where it says the general welfare. The government may tax and spend for the general welfare. Well, that is not at all what our founders intended with that phrase. To tax and spend for the general welfare was just the very restricted things that only a general government could do, something that the states themselves could not do. And so if health care belonged anywhere, it should belong to the state governments. But I don't even believe it's a legitimate function for state governments to involve themselves in providing the health care for the citizens of their state. That's not the business of government.
Well, of course, though, when I was a young doctor, every local community, and this was done at the county level, every local community had a poorhouse for people who could not look after themselves and had a county hospital or a contract with a county hospital. So in America, nobody went out without food or shelter or certainly without health care, except it was a function of the local government. It was not a right. It was a charity, and of course you got on charity only when you couldn't possibly simply care for yourself. The idea of accepting charity was something which was beneath the dignity of most Americans. This has been forgotten. It was always the function of the local community to look after people, not the function of the county, of the state, not the function of the federal government, because they knew that a federal government that can provide whatever you need has to be able to control and take whatever you have. And the same thing would be true with the state government. Matters dealing with health care and poverty were something that would be left to the local community and to the goodness of the people and the churches, and only then when people could not look after themselves. And then only when people could not look after themselves was the local community had the obligation to provide for the people. Just pick up the story there, David.
Well, as we looked last month at Article 1, Section 8, there's 18 specific things that are powers that our Constitution grants to the federal government. These are the only 18 things the legislative branch and the executive branch or the judicial branch can have anything to do with. These are the only powers granted to our federal government, and health care is not included in that, and the Department of Education is not included in that, and on the list goes. I think it was the Heritage Foundation did a study where they looked at the spending and the budget and so forth, and they discovered that over 90% of everything done by the federal government is not on this list, not on this list of 18 specific powers granted by the Constitution, which means 90% of the spending, or more than 90% of the spending of our federal government is illegal. That is, it's a violation of the supreme law of the land, that law which every senator and every congressman and the president and the judges, everybody, both elected and appointed on the federal and state level, have taken an oath before Almighty God to abide by the terms of this Constitution.
And yet, of course, you know, the Justice Department under Janet Reno and even the more recent Justice Department has said you could tell a terrorist because they talk about the Constitution. Janet Reno issued a directive saying you could tell a terrorist because they talk about the Constitution, and the Obama administration's done exactly the same thing. Because why? They fear that people will learn about the Constitution and realize that we have subversives in Washington, D.C., who want to centralize all power with the federal government and establish an authoritarian dictatorship in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave.
So the real terrorists to our system of government are those people like Janet Reno and the others who want nobody to study the Constitution, want nobody to talk about the Constitution, and would seek to shut down Institute on the Constitution and Radio Liberty and any other venue in our country that seeks to educate people about these matters. And so they are the real terrorists. They are seeking the destruction of our constitutional republic, and our founders warned us that there would be wicked people who would attempt to do that. And therefore, they very carefully and very wisely crafted our Constitution in a way in which the limits were clear. And if they weren't clear, they made them even more secure by the Bill of Rights, which built a high wall around those limited powers that were granted to our federal government, that it should not go outside those specific boundaries set out in the Constitution and then subsequently in the Bill of Rights. And so let's move on from Article 1, Section 8, which talks about those limited 18 powers, to Article 1, Section 9, which talks about the limitations of congressional authority. There's a list here of eight specific things that Congress cannot do. In a sense, Article 1, Section 8 says this is what Congress can do, and it can only do the things on this list. We know that that's the intent of those who drafted and framed our Constitution because of the Tenth Amendment that says the powers not granted to the federal government by this Constitution are reserved to the states or to the people. And so if it's not on the list of 18 things, it cannot be done by the federal government legally, legitimately. It may be able to be done by the state governments and certainly by the individual citizens that have retained these rights. So it's a very restrictive document, and Section 9 of Article 1 further limits congressional authority. First thing on the list is that the Congress could not forbid slave trade before 1808. That's 20 years after the ratification of our Constitution, and our founders really believed that slavery was evil. Even those who owned slaves, like Thomas Jefferson, you know, decried it, and it was a situation where people today really don't understand what's involved, that if you are going to bring an end to slavery, say Thomas Jefferson is going to say, "I'm going to set all my slaves free." Well, where are they going to live, and what job are they going to have, and who's going to provide anything for them? These are people who are absolutely dependent, and if you just turn them loose without a job, without a house, without anything, I mean, who's going to take care of them? Nobody, and there isn't any jobs available for them. In fact, the northern states were very racist. States like Abraham Lincoln's state, and Lincoln voted on this, he wanted to rid his state of any black person. Ship them back to Africa. That was Lincoln's solution. Not one black person, if Lincoln had his way, would be permitted to live in the state of Illinois. So you're going to free all these black slaves, and where are they going to go? So our founders recognized the problem of slavery could not be ended instantaneously. It would take time, and they saw the economic movements that were taking place in that day, such that slavery was becoming less and less economically viable, and they really believed of its own weight it would die. Just give it 20 years, and 20 years it'll be dead, and it won't be an issue and a problem, and those who were former slaves will have by that time been stepped out of the system, have a job or an occupation, able to provide for themselves and their family and so forth. So they said, let's just give it 20 years, and that was the first limitation on congressional authority. The second is a very, very important one, that Congress cannot suspend habeas corpus except in emergency. Habeas corpus is a Latin term referring to an ancient Englishman's right to demand of the government that the government give a legitimate reason for holding a person in prison. So if somebody, some government official arrests you and puts you in prison, they have to give you a charge claiming that you violated a specific law. In other words, this prevents the government from just arresting its opponents or those who are politically unpopular and throwing them in prison without them ever having committed a crime. This, of course, was the kind of thing that kings were famous for doing. They had political opponents, and they would just arrest them and throw them in prison, throw away the key, never charge them with having committed any crime, never bring them to any trial. Well, the writ of habeas corpus is a demand that says the government must either give a legitimate reason that there is a law that supposedly I have violated, and therefore it is imprisoning me, with the plan to bring me to a speedy trial, or if they cannot give a legitimate reason, they cannot cite the law, then they have to let me go. They have to release me from prison. And so this writ of habeas corpus is a very important protection against the government persecuting people who hold opinions that the government doesn't like. And we see that today with the Homeland Security labeling people like myself and like you, Dr. Stanton, labeling us terrorists because we're talking about the Constitution. If they had their way, if the wicked people in the Obama administration had their way, they'd be putting me in prison. They'd be shutting me up so I could not teach people the Constitution. That's what these wicked people want. But there's no law. In fact, it's the opposite. The law says I must have the freedom to speak, and I must have the freedom to redress my government and voice my views when the government especially is violating the supreme law of the land. And so this is a very precious right that we have, a God-given right, and Congress is the only branch of government that can suspend habeas corpus, and only in extreme emergencies. And actually, Congress has never used this power. Oddly enough, there's two presidents who have, in violation of the Constitution, go ahead and suspended habeas corpus. The first was the tyrannical 16th president in the war to prevent Southern independence. That president arrested many people without any charge. For example, the legislature of the state of Maryland here, our state legislature, some of them had ideas that they wanted to at least discuss, debate, and ultimately vote on the issue of whether they should secede from the Union and join the Southern Confederate States. And before they could ever meet to do that, the tyrannical 16th president sent the army to their homes, arrested them, put them in prison in Fort McHenry without any charges of having committed a crime. They just held in their mind the idea that secession from the Union might be an idea that ought to be considered by the state of Maryland. For their thoughts, for their ideas, he arrested them. They did not commit any crime. They were never charged with any crime. Lincoln suspended habeas corpus illegally, and he should have been impeached if the Congress of that day truly followed the law. That is, if they followed the Constitution, they would have impeached him for having violated the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. The other president who has suspended habeas corpus, at least in certain cases, is our 43rd president, who in the Military Commissions Act basically stated that the government could declare someone who is a United States citizen, they could declare that they're an enemy combatant, and therefore habeas corpus is suspended in their case, and all their 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th Amendment rights are also thrown out the window. And that's President Bush, the second in the Military Commissions Act. A wicked decision on his part. A decision, by the way, the 44th president has not overturned, which means he's still operating under those same unconstitutional principles that he could suspend habeas corpus for any individual in our country that he chooses to do so with. That's the second thing Congress cannot do. The third is that Congress cannot pass a bill of attainder. It may be a term that's really not that familiar to most folks, but a bill of attainder is a legislative finding of guilt. That is, if Congress were to act as if it were a court and judge and jury and then hear evidence and determine, okay, this person is guilty of having committed this crime, and we're going to pass a bill of attainder charging this person with having committed this crime and finding they're guilty and assigning a sentence and so forth. Basically, it would be the legislative branch of government acting as if it is the judicial branch of government. This is illegal. They cannot do this. They cannot pass bills of attainder. The only time they can be involved in a court-like function is when they are impeaching an elected or appointed official on the federal level. The House draws up articles of impeachment. The trial is held by the Senate to determine whether to remove that individual from office or not.
You hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with David Whitney, and basically an understanding of the Constitution is vital if there is any hope that we're going to be able to preserve our freedom. That's why we hope many of you will want to listen to our program, get the copies, get hold of the Institute of the Constitution and set up a study group in your community to teach others about our wonderful Constitution. David, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Along that same lines of...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The IRS laws, you could not possibly read through all the IRS laws at the present time to know what was legal. I know it. Some years ago, I was going to close out my retirement fund, and I got to be on pretty good terms with a gentleman who is responsible for the for retirement funds here for the IRS on the west coast of California. And I would never forget him saying, well, he said, Stan, he said, you know, I'm in charge of understanding these laws here, dealing with pensions. He said, I don't understand the laws. There's no way you could understand the laws. If I were you, I would simply close out my my retirement account, because there's no way you're going to be able to anticipate what it really means. Pay your taxes and get out from under it. That was the head of the fellow in charge of the IRS pension regulations on the west coast of this country. Understand that the people who work for the IRS do not understand the laws. How can we be expected to? Well, we are expected to, and they'll put you in prison if you make a mistake. Go right ahead.
So I think this is, it's not directly here under Article 1, Section 9, but the principle's there that the legal system should be just and the people should know what they are responsible to obey. Otherwise, the legal system is a fraud. It's a joke. And that's exactly what we have today. So many laws that you can't possibly know the laws that you require to obey, both on the federal and to a lesser degree on the state level. If you were able to read from the moment of birth and you read your entire life, never slept, never did anything else but read, you could never read through the laws that you're required to obey before you died. So I think if we had really committed congressmen and senators, they would not go to Washington, D.C. and pass new legislation. No, they would go to Washington, D.C. and rip out bad legislation, rip out legislation that's unnecessary, reduce the legislation in Washington, D.C. to a book of about 100 pages that the average citizen could sit down and read. It might take them a couple of hours here or there, but they could read through the entire body of legislation that they were required to know and obey, and that would be it. That would be a just system of government. Instead, we have this gargantuan monster in Washington, D.C., that wants to criminalize every one of us and find an excuse to throw any one of us in prison for doing things that should never be considered illegal. And again, the limited function of our federal government was the design of our founders. Well, so that's number three on this list of things that Congress cannot do. They cannot pass bills of attainder, nor can they pass ex post facto laws. The fourth on this list in Article 1, Section 9 is that the federal government, any taxes, any direct taxes, that is, towards the citizens of the individual states, those taxes must be in proportion to the census. So every 10 years the census is taken. We're coming up on 2010 census and determines the population base of each state. And based upon the size of the state, that's how the tax bill is to be proportioned to that state. And so, well, for example, let's say that the state of Maryland is about 5 million people. I'm not exactly sure the size of Illinois. Let's just guess that it's 10 million people. It may be more than that. But let's just say that, Maryland's half the size of the state of Illinois. The way the federal tax structure was set up, if there was going to be any direct taxes, any taxes towards the citizens themselves, those taxes must be in proportion to the census. That means the bill sent to Maryland is half the size of the bill sent to the state of Illinois.
But I think the most important thing is our founding fathers stipulated there was never to be a tax, a federal tax, on the individual,
mm-hmm.
because that would bring the individual under the control of the federal government, and they didn't want that. They feared that. They knew that that would eventually result in a tyrannical system.
And so they designed it such that the states would actually be the tax collectors. In fact, the states would determine how they were going to raise that revenue. They could do a sales tax or, import tax, or they could do income tax. The state itself could choose how it was going to raise that revenue that it was going to then send to the federal government, by the way.
But then, of course, the federal senators mm-hmm. were actually elected by the members of the state legislature. So if the federal senator from a state voted for a large increase in taxation, why, he could very well be replaced by his state legislature. So here was a means by which the states could limit the amount of taxation at the federal level. That's why we had to get the 17th Amendment. The fascist element, who even back certainly in 1913 were planning on how they were going to do exactly what they're doing today, because remember, this is a long-term plan. If you read the occult literature, they even talk about the plan with a capital P. The plan has always been at this time in history to bring about a fascist society. They know exactly what they're doing, and so they had to have indirect election or direct election of senators rather than indirect by the states, so that they could buy and sell the senators just like they buy and sell members of Congress. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest, of course, is Pastor David Whitney. And go right ahead, David.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. The system was wisely designed by our founders to prevent the federal government from becoming a tax monster that could directly tax the individuals. They said there was no permission for the federal government to engage in capitation taxes. That is a tax directly on the head of the individual citizen. We know what decapitation is. Take somebody's head off. Well, a capitation tax is a tax upon the head. That is a direct tax upon the citizen. The federal government couldn't do that. That was the individual state's responsibility to figure out how they were going to raise the tax in proportion to the census. And you have to ask yourself, well, then is our current system constitutional? And when you receive your tax bill from the IRS, is there any way that your taxing is proportional to the census? No, not at all. And people will say, well, wait a minute, that was all changed by the 16th Amendment. No, it was not. The Supreme Court, after the 16th Amendment, which there was a whole question about its ratification, I don't believe it was properly ratified. The evidence is that it was not. But just set that argument aside for a minute and say, well, what did the Supreme Court at the time of the ratification of the 16th Amendment say? They said very specifically that the 16th Amendment did not increase or change in any manner the federal government's taxing powers. In other words, the Supreme Court said it did not change this provision here that says no capitation tax. It did not change this provision that said any direct taxes must be in proportion to the census. None of that was changed whatsoever by the 16th Amendment. And that means our entire system today of income tax is unconstitutional. But we don't yet, we have Ron Paul and maybe one or two others who are concerned about it, but we don't yet have the movement we need of American citizens who cry out and say to their congressmen and senators, you guys are breaking the law. You guys are robbing us blind. We're not going to permit you to do this. Shut down the IRS. The IRS is illegal, at least as it's currently structured, in its direct capitation tax upon the head of each citizen in our state. So, but that would be a point, if enough Americans understand these principles and enough Americans get mad enough and start like they're doing in town hall meetings all over the country now, speaking very plainly and bluntly to their senators and congressmen and demanding they return to the law, that they return and obey the supreme law of the land or get out of the way so we can put somebody in there who will obey the supreme law of the land.
Hold that thought, David. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, what they will learn when they get in touch with you, how they can take the program on the Internet, and, of course, then how they can set up programs in their community to begin to teach people what was once known by every citizen in the United States, but because of the what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, this little group, this little clique of people who want to establish a fascist society using the wealth of the great tax-exempt foundations to alter our educational system, to control the media, to control essentially what the American people think and what they believe. Why, of course, they have managed to convince us we're a democracy, which we're not. And they have managed to convince us that the elected representatives can do whatever they want to. But go right ahead.
Yes, Dr. Stan, we know that many people, and I was talking with somebody this week, a gal who said that she's heard your program a number of times and finally decided she would read the Constitution for herself. And she was surprised that she could understand the language because she had been taught and told and repeatedly beaten into her head that, oh, only the constitutional attorneys and only the experts who spend their entire life, only those people can understand and interpret it. Only Supreme Court justice. It's a lie. And it's a lie that at Institute on the Constitution we are actively dispelling by helping people across the country teach these principles. And we do so with what we call a host kit. You can host a class or host a study group anywhere. And our constitutional law professor, John Eismo, in 12 lectures, half-hour lectures, gives you the basic structure. There's a study guide with question and answers that help the host leading it to conduct a class by which the people really do grasp these principles of law and government and then gain a working knowledge of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, as well as the subsequent amendments, and understand what's happened to our country. I mean, what happened to this beautiful republic designed by our founders that we're now heading towards a socialist or a fascist system that at breakneck speeds with the Obama administration and so on? And what's the route to recovery? How can we restore this republic? All of that's in this host kit, and people can order that host kit online if they go to our website. And the website for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. That's all one word, iotconline.com. And there at the very top of the page, you can click host kit to order a host kit. Or, as you mentioned, the people who'd like to view and take the series of lectures online can do that if they have broadband access, that they can watch the videos and take the tests online. And if they go to our website as well, iotconline.com, right there at the top of the page is a button. Click online course, sign up. We'll email you the key, and then it's $30 to actually take the class. But that $30, by the way, can be applied to your purchase of the host kit, because we always encourage people, if they take the online course, great, but go beyond that. Gather a group of friends and family. Gather a group of people at your church. The churches all over our country should be doing this, that you can actually take a group of fellow citizens through an understanding so that they'll have a working knowledge. We need millions of Americans with this understanding to rise up and say, not only are we mad, we know the answer, we know the solution, we just simply need to return to our founders' design. It's right here in the document, and this document, the Constitution, is still the supreme law of the land. That hasn't been changed. In spite of all the violations, in spite of all the evil that's been done, it is still the supreme law of the land. And unless we, the people, demand that the federal government return to the boundaries of that Constitution, we can be sure that it won't. And it will continue to act in tyrannical ways and continue to destroy our constitutional republic and violate our God-given rights. Also, if you choose to order it by phone, if you prefer not to order it by the web, you can call us. We're on the East Coast, so East Coast time during the day. You can order it at our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution, which is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And we encourage every listener, do your part. We can recover our Constitution. We can restore freedom. We can put the IRS out of business and its whole taxing structure. We could restore what our founders designed if we all take action. We've all got to do it. If we leave it to somebody else, if we say, well, somebody else will do it, what happens is that nobody does it. But, Dr. Stan, we're very encouraged. As all across the country this fall, classes are being planned, and some that are in brand-new settings. In other words, there's like a pastor in the middle of Ohio that contacted us and said, I'm going to get 100 people together. We're going to conduct a class. Like, great. Just very encouraging things happening all across the country as more and more Americans are looking at things like this healthcare craziness, and saying, wait a minute, something's really, really wrong. I'm not sure what it is, but something's wrong. Well, there's a great opportunity for us here to reach a wide number of people who are waking up to realize that they've been had by a bunch of liars, charlatans, and thieves, and con men who basically have taken over our federal government, and to some degree our state government.
Well, let me just give you an example of how corrupt things are. I talked yesterday to a Dr. Janda, like Panda, but with a J. Dr. Janda is an orthopedic surgeon who has testified before Congress, who's spoken out, has put an essay up on the Internet about the so-called death panels, these panels that are going to determine what sort of treatments will be given in this government health program and what sort of treatment will be given to Medicare and everything else. And, of course, as he pointed out, this is already the law of the land. It was actually passed in the stimulus bill. Nobody got a chance to read the stimulus bill. It was jammed through the Senate and the House, and they put it through because we were told the economy was going to collapse if we didn't get that stimulus bill through. And there was appropriations for $1 billion for these death panels that will determine what bureaucrats will determine what sort of treatment will be appropriate for individuals in America. And then, of course, what was so interesting is that Dr. Jand had written an essay, put it up on the Internet, and people would take the article, and they would modify it, and they would take all the important things out of it, and they would post it on prominent websites so people would read the article thinking they were getting the truth. And they really weren't getting the truth at all. They were getting what, of course, the people who modified and censored the article wanted, because they don't want the people to understand that the Obama administration has already passed the legislation, the so-called death panels, for the Kevorkian bill that, of course, Sarah Palin has been talking about, and everybody's saying it isn't true. Of course it's true, but you're not going to hear about it because, of course, they're taking poor Dr. Janda's essay and they're simply censoring it and then reposting it on the Internet. He doesn't know what to do, and of course there's nothing he can do. Because, of course, we have freedom of the press here. That means if you own the press, you can alter the news. If you get up on the Internet, you can alter articles. And who are you going to complain to? The government that wants death panels and wants to limit access to health care for our senior citizens? Because aren't there really too many of them anyway? Go right ahead, David.
Well, going back to Article 1, Section 9, in addition to the fact that no capitation taxes, that direct taxes must be in proportion to the census, the fifth item on the list is no tax or duty on items exported from state. One of the problems under the Articles of Confederation is that individual states were treating other states as foreign countries. So if you manufactured a good here in Maryland and you wanted to sell it in New York State, New York would charge you an import tax. And this kind of thing was what they realized was a deadly thing to the economic vitality of the country. So they said, we need to have a level playing field in terms of trade between the states, and that's interstate commerce. And so no tax or duty on import items exported from states. So within the states that were part of the Union, there would be a free trade zone. Not a free trade zone with some other country, like Canada or Mexico or what have you. No, a free trade zone between the states that were part of the Union. That and that alone was what is envisioned, and that really is what alone makes sense, because if you have a free trade zone with other countries, you're basically giving up your national sovereignty economically to those other countries to manipulate your own economy, and you're not protecting your own economy at all. Well, number six on the list is that Congress could give no preference for local ships or ports over others. Again, this is a issue of trade, that to have a fair trade zone among all of the states means that you couldn't say that one port would have extra preference that would bring economic vitality to that port in disfavoring other ports that were in other states. So that, again, there had to be a level playing field economically among all the states that were part of the Union. The seventh restriction is that no money could be drawn from the Treasury except by appropriation of Congress with regular public accounting. Again, this was to set the spending patterns for Congress needed to be very carefully recorded so that they could be held accountable by the voting populace, as they could see exactly how Congress was spending and what was taking place, with regular public accounting so that everything was above board. Well, the problem that's happened with this whole provision is it's been violated in so many ways, is there's all these hidden things. People like to think about the Social Security Trust Fund as if there's actually some money in the Social Security Trust Fund. Well, it's just a bunch of IOUs that are worthless pieces of paper there. They've spent every penny of it. And was it by appropriation of Congress? No, because Congress said we're going to put a trust fund and all the money people are contributing with their taxes to Social Security is going to stay in that trust fund and it's only going to go to the recipients. Well, that's a promise they broke long ago. They spent the entire amount and so on, which is why the Social Security system is bankrupt. And ready to collapse in the next few years.
And we're talking about within maybe a couple of years. A congressman recently came forward and said that because, you know, we have so many people unemployed, and we're talking about something like 25 to 30 million people either unemployed or underemployed, and that simply means that they're not paying into Social Security and Medicare trust funds, since they're not getting enough money come into Social Security, and they're putting out more money within a couple of years. They'll be putting out more money than they're taking in, and that's what happened to Bernie Madoff. His system, his Ponzi scheme, worked great as long as there was more money coming in than was going out. But, of course, now, why, of course, the Ponzi scheme that Congress has been running, why suddenly there's not going to be enough money coming in. More money will be going out than is coming in, and that's why they've already said they're going to cut cost of living, so-called COLA payments, for the next couple of years for the senior citizens, or there's not going to be any more cost of living. And then a couple of years, maybe 3 years or so, 4 years from now, the whole Ponzi scheme that we put Bernie Madoff into prison for, the Ponzi scheme of Social Security, which uses money coming in to pay the money going out, is going to collapse. And then what's going to happen to the senior citizens in this country who are dependent on Social Security? And, of course, who have lost most of the money in their pension funds. At that point, the whole house of cards comes down, and we learn it's all been a lie, because Social Security and Medicare and all these programs were unconstitutional.
And it's a very very deceptive name they've actually given to it, as if there is some security in this government Ponzi scheme. There's no security in it whatsoever. If the truth and labeling were laws were applied to Congress here, they'd have to call it socialist insecurity. It's a socialist program, and there's absolutely no security. It's a Ponzi scheme, just like you said. Well, that's just one illustration of how the Congress has spent money that it has no legitimate constitutional power to do. And again, these are things that if voters understood this and they demanded that Congress live like the rest of us have to live, that we balance our checkbook and we cannot spend more than we make in a given month and so on, that if we force them back into the limits, all of us would be enormously better off, because not only are they spending money they don't have, they're printing money to make up for the difference of the money that they don't have. And so they, by inflating the currency, they're, in a backdoor way, stealing from all of us by devaluing the money that we have in our houses or in our investments or whatever we have and hold. They're devaluing it by printing trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars. And most Americans have no idea that what's really happening in that bailout scheme that they've now inaugurated here, that they're stealing it from us. They're just hiding how they're stealing it from us. They're stealing it by the inflation that is bound to come when all those trillions and trillions of dollars actually get into circulation. They will create an inflationary spiral that I think our country perhaps has never seen. We might be going into the spiral that Germany went into just prior to World War II, the kind of inflation that's disastrous for everyone. And except those evildoers who are plotting and using that economic disaster to further their ends of a one-world order. And so the seventh restriction, no money drawn from the Treasury except by appropriation, was a very wise restriction that has been violated, and we need to hold our elected officials accountable and force them back into the constitutional way in which money is spent. Then the final, the eighth in the list from Article 1, Section 9, is that no titles of nobility would be permitted. And that is an idea that might seem a little odd to us. What's this whole thing about titles of nobility? Well, you need to understand that in Europe, there's even today, but especially in the day of our founders, there was a great deal of advantage granted to certain people who were the favorites of the government. So the government might grant a monopoly to someone who was, you know, an earl or a baron, or, you know, depending on their rank of nobility, they would be given special economic privileges. They'd be given advantages over others. And so the result of that, of course, is that everybody in those societies was trying to curry the favor of the government, of the king, to get a title of nobility. Because if they got a title of nobility, it meant their business would just go soaring. They would have far greater advantages over their competitors. And our founder said, that's not a good system at all. We need a system of equality, and that no one is given a special advantage by a title of nobility over his fellow citizens. And that's one of the reasons why America became such a great economic draw to people around the world, because they knew in America you could come in penniless, nearly penniless, and become a very wealthy individual by hard work, diligence, and wisdom applied in your business.
Well, we've had a wonderful country. We've lived in the most wonderful life, but unfortunately this is coming to pass because there really are people who want to establish a fascist society to take all power to Washington, D.C. And remember, Barack Obama is simply a figurehead for the Trilateral Commission, the Brotherhood of Darkness, these people who, of course, have a different agenda. Because, in my opinion, they worship a different god. All you need to do is look at the logo of the Trilateral Commission very carefully, and you can almost imagine you see three sixes and an upside-down broken cross. Well, David, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
Every month, because we want to get you out there in the listening audience involved in trying to save America. And you start at the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are set around understanding the Constitution of the United States. So remember, get in touch with David, get in touch with the Institute, and start learning yourself, and then help us teach others. Now, this is the time when I really need to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us maintain our network of over 60 outlets every week, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Then, of course, we want to remind you about our all-day seminar on the 25th of October. It's going to be held here at the Monterey, by the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the North Shore, Monterey Bay, beautiful spot. And we're going to be serving lunch, so we have to know how many people are coming. Dr. Calvin Albrecht will be there. Will Grigg, certainly Ashley Moat, member of the European Parliament. Tom Horn, talking about some of the amazing spiritual things that are happening. And we welcome your call here. And welcome your coming, but you're going to have to call and make a reservation. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know more about our form of government, we have a great four-tape set, The Foundations of Our Freedom. We carry William Federer's book, America's God and Country. But also you have to understand the occult forces that were here when America was created. And those are beautifully covered in a set of DVDs, starting with The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. We call it the Secret Mystery Series because you can get the complete set there at a reduced price. Or you can get them individually, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, going into the secret societies that were here when America was founded. Riddles in Stone, which goes into the occult architecture of our nation's capital, and you'll actually see pictures of all the demonic beings and these signs of the zodiac and the other occult symbols all over our nation's capital, where they hide their emblems in plain sight and then laugh at us common people because we don't recognize what's going on. And if you want to understand how this all ties together, we carry a number of books by Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist. His book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, explains how these forces have been here for thousands of years, and they hide their emblems in plain sight, exactly as they did in Washington, D.C. His book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, which goes into the Luciferian foundation of this movement. And then, of course, his book, The Secret Destiny of America, where he talks about the fact that for 3,000 years there have been secret societies that have been working to bring enlightened democracies to the world. Just like we're doing today. That's the reason we're fighting over in so bravely over in Iraq. We want to bring democracy to that country. Of course, we've set up a society under Sharia law there, which has driven all the Christians out of the country. But we want to create democracy, and we want to create democracy in Afghanistan, where they recently rigged the elections there. We're setting up democracies all throughout the world, like we set up in Zimbabwe, where Mugabe, of course, has rigged the elections for years with the help of the American State Department. And the same thing is true in South Africa and Southwest Africa and all over the world where they rigged the elections. And then we smile and say, isn't democracy wonderful? Well, you need to get the book, The Secret Destiny of America, because it's written by a Satanist. These are all on a special list. You'll have to request them by name. The Secret Teachings of All Ages, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, and, of course, The Secret Destiny of America. And we have many other books on that special research list. You need to get them. You need to begin to study. You need to understand what's really going on. We carry the book by Wayne Peterson, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People, which tells how David Rockefeller recruited Wayne Peterson into the movement, into the occult movement. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Warren Smith. And this is the third book I've interviewed him on. He's written two other books, which we carry. But his latest book, A Wonderful Deception, The Future New Age Implications of the Emerging Purpose-Driven Movement, is certainly an important book. As we look and see what's going on in the world today, I often have people ask me, why is it that people don't understand what's going on? Why, when I talk to people, even to Christians, they just don't understand and they don't seem to care about what's going on? They either look at me with glassy eyes or just consider I'm a kook. Well, the reason is because our churches have failed. And the reason our churches have failed is because Rick Warren has actually trained, and the purpose-driven movement has trained over 400,000 church leaders in the United States, both Catholic and Protestant, in this purpose-driven movement, which has, of course, totally altered the thrust of Christianity. And, of course, certainly what they've done, this is a movement that's based upon people, you know, getting big churches and making a lot of money. And of course, they stress we should not be concerned about prophecy. I said we are told, certainly, that many of the phrases that are used in this movement actually come from the occult. And gradually, little by little, the occult influence is permeating throughout the entire, or almost the entire, Christian church in the United States. And with that as a background, Warren Smith was involved in the New Age and the occult movement for many years. He was introduced into this by, I think, a fellow named Bernie Siegel, who was actually, of course, introduced him to the Course in Miracles. And Warren spent a good many, a decade or more, involved with the occult movement before he came into a personal relationship with our Lord. So, Warren, you pick up the story.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I titled the book A Wonderful Deception. It's taken from Jeremiah 5:30-31, when speaking for the Lord, he said, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so." In the book of Daniel, in the 8th chapter, when it talks about the coming of Antichrist, it says that he will destroy wonderfully, and by peace he shall destroy many. I speak from my own experience. When I was involved in the New Age movement, I was led to believe that what I was doing was of God. It felt good. There was a lot of spiritual experience that seemed to confirm that what we were doing was from God. But I found out after 5 years being in it that it was not from God. It was actually very deceptive. Thank God for Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, that came to me just at a perfect time, and I learned that I actually wrote an spiritual autobiography back in 1992 called The Light That Was Dark, and that's taken from scripture that says, when Jesus said, "Take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness." Satan comes as an angel of light, and I didn't even know there was a Satan. I didn't know there was deception, but I found out, and I found out that the Bible's reliable. And the Bible describes everything that's happening today.
In fact, you can't understand anything happening today unless you look at it through the lens of prophecy. And a lot of the churches don't even want to talk about that. After all, Rick Warren says it isn't important. And Rick Warren, after all, is the leader of the Christian church today. He's been anointed by Time magazine as the Christian leader of modern times, replacing Billy Graham. And Time magazine hates the God of the Bible. The people who, of course, control Time are part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they've chosen Rick Warren to lead us. Well, Well, go ahead, Warren. Apparently, after you wrote one of your earlier books about, you know, going into the purpose-driven church, why, they even put out pamphlets ridiculing you and certainly, of course, chiding the things you'd written. You must have really created some ripples there, because people are beginning to understand that the purpose-driven church and Saddleback Church and the others were not exactly what they appeared to be. What actually happened there?
Well, I wrote Deceived on Purpose, basically to, that the subtitle was, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And I wrote it as a warning, and the points that I made were very well taken, that they were just factual, taken from scripture, comparing some of the things that were being taught to the New Age. And a lot would really depend, I felt, on how they would respond to that. And the response was not good. They basically had their own apologists who tried to misrepresent and distort some of the points that I made. The points were fairly straightforward. For instance, you had mentioned Bernie Siegel. He's a New Age leader and author who wrote a book called Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And in that book, he talks about how he contacted a spirit guide in his first meditation. And the spirit guide is named George, and he counsels and helps Bernie Siegel in all of his decisions, according to Siegel. And for whatever reason, Rick Warren chose Bernie Siegel in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, to introduce hope and purpose. What I found out later was that Robert Shuler had, a number of years earlier, had introduced Bernie Siegel, and Bernie Siegel had actually, his book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, had been endorsed on the back cover by Norman Vincent Peale. Peale was Shuler's mentor. And obviously there was a connection there between Peale and Shuler and Rick Warren. And the more that I dug into it, the more that I realized that Rick Warren was not only a graduate of the Robert Shuler Institute for Successful Church Leadership, but he had adopted many of Shuler's teachings and many of his terms, including God's dream, which is the metaphor that Rick Warren uses for his peace plan that he's introduced in trying to help the world. So he's using a Robert Shuler concept, God's dream. He's using another Robert Shuler concept, the New Reformation. Shuler had a book called Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. It was written in 1982. In that book, Shuler talked about Gerald Jampolsky, the man that introduced me to A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles was my New Age teachings that was channeled supposedly from Jesus Christ, but it was another Jesus. It was a false Christ. And that Course in Miracles turned the Bible upside down. Shuler had the Course in Miracles groups meeting on his Crystal Cathedral campus in the mid-1980s.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess. Today is Warren Smith, and we're talking about his book, A Wonderful Deception, which we are going to carry. Of course, we carry all of Warren's other books, and you should read all of them. What Warren does is point out that there's a connection between Norman Vincent Peale and his power of positive thinking, and how with our minds we can remake our environment and the world, and Robert Shuler, of course, and his teachings on self-esteem, and then Rick Warren, of course, and all of them have simply the basic underlying theme, the power of positive thinking, the power of self-esteem, and certainly the power of the purpose-driven church. I think Warren puts it far better than I do, but you have to understand that always at the background, of course, are there these powerful forces eroding and undermining basic Christian teaching, backed by the media. Of course, Norman Vincent Peale was consistently backed by Reader's Digest. The only good thing I can say is Reader's Digest is going into bankruptcy and receivership, and it couldn't happen. I mean, a wonderful little magazine. You always love those little heartrending articles, but understand they had an agenda, as almost all of our media does, and that is the working subtly, very quietly, behind the scenes to undermine basic Christian theology, Christian doctrine, and Christian belief. And they've done a great job. They've really emasculated the church. So as you look and see the unfolding tragedy of today, the church is largely irrelevant. Which one of our major church leaders spoke out against the Bush administration taking us into needless wars and the torture that was used on helpless people? And where was the outcry from Christians across America against torture? The only people who seemed to be upset were the liberals, but not the conservative Christians, because after all, this was done by a Republican administration, and everybody knows that God's a Republican. Go right ahead, Warren.
Well, we're talking about Norman Vincent Peale. What people need to understand is that in Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, he says, God is in you. That's the bottom line of the New Age. That's the bottom line of what's now being called the New Spirituality. The New Age was exposed enough in the mid to late 1980s, even into the early 1990s, by people like Constance Cumby and Dave Hunt, that the New Age had to sort of go underground in terms of the actual name. Unfortunately, Christian leaders did not really do an adequate job of exposing the New Age. So the New Age became the New Gospel and the New Spirituality. The thing that people need to understand that I developed quite a bit in my book is that what we are now being presented with is the need for a new world view. And that world view is based on the idea that God is in everyone and everything. 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Apostle Paul said, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This is the bottom line device that's being used, the idea that God is in everything. And there it was in Norman Vincent Peale's writings when he said, God is in you. Robert Schuller has stated in his writings, and also very recently, I think it was in 2003, he said, yes, God is alive, and he is in every single human being. And then along comes Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life, and he quotes a new version of the Bible called the New Century Version, and he said about God, he said, he rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything.
And of course, this is basically pantheism. And God is in those people who've given their lives, of course, to Christ, who surrendered their lives to Christ, but he's not in everyone.
No, and interestingly, on page 112 of the Shack, Jesus, quote-unquote, the Jesus of the Shack, he's not the same Jesus as the Bible. He's another Jesus, the one that the Apostle Paul warns about. This Jesus in the Shack said, God, who is the ground of all being, dwells in and around and through all things. So there it is, right in the Shack. And then the Shack spells the word creation with a capital C over 20 times. And that, in the New Age, signifies that God is in his creation. The Shack is a very dangerous book. It's a transitional book. It's heart-rending in the storyline, but it's filled with New Age teachings. In particular, it introduces science, the quantum stuff of subatomic particles, as it says in the book. It introduces the concept of fractals, which goes back to as above, so below, which is the absolute New Age term. It goes back, it's the key to all magic and all mysteries, and it means that God is in everyone and everything. That's the term that Eugene Peterson inserted and paraphrased in the Lord's Prayer. Instead of saying in earth as it is in heaven, he said, as above, so below. Eugene Peterson, his endorsement is on the front cover of the Shack, and it's all coming together, Dr. Stan. All the chickens are coming home to roost. All the little connections are coming together. A new world view is about to be presented in the name of science, in the name of quantum physics. The famous Quantum Leap, Fritz Kapper's book, The Tao of Physics, Parallels Between Modern Physics and Eastern Mysticism. It's all coming together, and church leaders are just sitting back, and they're letting it happen. They're not only letting it happen, they're playing into it. There's a lot of overlapping terms like God's dream, new reformation, source, quantum. It's amazing to behold, and I know that you've been warning about this stuff for years. My wife and I have warned about it for the 25 years that we've been in the faith, and it's very difficult to present all this stuff adequately in an interview like this, but over the last year I did my best to lay it all out in this book, A Wonderful Deception, and how it continues. Rick Warren's original concerns about him have just magnified as he particularly has aligned himself with a number of New Age sympathizers, including emerging leader Leonard Sweet, Ken Blanchard, the businessman who has all sorts of endorsements on New Age books, John Marks Templeton. Rick Warren was involved judging his Power of Purpose essay contest, and of course Robert Schuller. So people should be greatly concerned at what's going on. And interestingly, The Bible has warned exactly and perfectly about what's going on today. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when he was asked, when will you return? What will be the sign of your return? He said, take heed that no man deceives you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Can you tell me a little bit about how quantum physics fits into this? And does it certainly Einstein's theory of relativity and all of these things somehow fit into this new theology?
Yeah, what it really comes down to is Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit priest who was actually defrocked by the Catholic Church for heresy. And he basically said that God is in every atom. Matthew Fox, a New Age teacher, picked up the mantle, and his teachings talk about the cosmic Christ that is in every atom. Amazingly, Leonard Sweet, who is hailed as a evangelical Christian leader today, calls Matthew Fox one of his heroes and one of his role models, calls him a creative leader who's on the creative edge of what's going on today. And the Sweet has a book that he published in 1991 called Quantum Spirituality. What it really comes down to in a very simple way is that there's a quantum field of energy, and this energy permeates everything, and that God is in this quantum field, and that we need to recognize that because God is in this quantum field and is affected by everything that we say and do, we are, in effect, God because of this idea that God is in every atom and is in this energy field. As a matter of fact, the movie Field of Dreams, with this idea of God's dream that Rick Warren has introduced and that Oprah Winfrey has talked about, it's an overlapping term. It's part of this field of dreams is really this quantum field of God's dream. It's a metaphor. It's a very simple movie, but the idea is if you build it, he will come. That's the voice that comes to Kevin Costner, the main character, the farmer in Iowa. If you build it, he will come. This whole peace plan that Rick Warren has fits that model completely, where works are going to bring in the kingdom of God, and that Jesus will return when this kingdom is built. The interesting thing is that prophecy warns about this, warns about the coming of Antichrist usurping the role of Jesus Christ. But what does Rick Warren say in The Purpose-Driven Life? He says that Jesus says that prophecy is none of our business. Emerging leader Brian McLaren says exactly the same thing, that prophecy is none of our business. Interestingly, Stan, you know Alice Bailey as well as anybody, a cult matriarchal leader of the New Age. 50 years ago, in her book, The Reappearance of the Christ, the false New Age Christ, she says that prophecy is none of our concern. She just used the word concern instead of business. Our leaders, supposed leaders, are now echoing and mimicking the very terms that these New Age people have been bringing into the vocabulary for years. So we have and back to the quantum thing, in the shack, it introduces the word quantum. It talks about subatomic particles. We're hearing about the God particle that was even in Parade magazine just several weeks ago, talking about the possibility of a God particle in the energy field of the universe. And the word fractal is in the shack. The word fractal really is a fractured part of the whole. In other words, it's a part of everything. So this seemingly simple story, the shack, is introducing God in everything. It says that evil does not exist. It has creation with a capital C. And the man who wrote the book said that he had literal conversations with God. He was going to call his book Conversations with God, except he found out that somebody else already had a book by that title, and that was New Age leader Neil Donald Walsh. And Neil Donald Walsh, in his Conversations with God, talked about quantum physics and talked about how that is the bottom line answer to how we will get this new world view that God is in every atom and in everyone and everything. And it's a lie. It goes right back to the Garden of Eden.
Well, of course, there's what that old saying, there's nothing new under the sun. But we are seeing played out today the final stage of what I believe is the great battle of all time, that battle between good and evil. And if you cannot understand what's going on in any way, unless you understand prophecy, and of course you have a personal relationship, hopefully all of this will lead you to a personal relationship with our Lord.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Saying is not necessarily wrong, but this whole term worldview permeates the new age and the new spirituality. They're talking about the need for a new worldview. So the term is being introduced, so down the line it could be tweaked, and if the whole quantum physics thing is introduced into the faith, then it could go that way. And I have reason to believe that it will be, because there's a pastor by the name of Greg Boyd who is about to release a book called The Cosmic Dance, all about quantum physics. And The Cosmic Dance is a term right out of Fritz Kapper's book, The Tao of Physics, Parallels Between between Modern Physics and Eastern Mysticism. There's a charismatic pastor who's been around for years by the name of Charles Capps. His daughter, Annette Capps, is a quote-unquote Christian minister, and she has a pamphlet called Quantum Faith. And it's gone out to over 100,000 people already. And she actually quotes Gary Zukav's book, Dancing of the Wu-Li Masters, An Overview of the New Physics. Gary Zukav was one of Oprah Winfrey's main New Age spokespeople in the late 1990s and early 2000. And he also was an endorser of Barbara Marx Hubbard's book, The Revelation. And in Barbara Marx, the New Age leader Barbara Marx Hubbard quotes her Christ, the New Age Christ, as saying that if you are not joining in to this idea that God is in everyone and everything, then you're a separatist and you will be handed over to a selection process that will remove you from the face of the earth. Gary Zukav has his endorsement right at the beginning of her book. It's a complete interpretation of Revelation in New Age terms, and it also is a very clear warning that people will lose their lives if they don't get with this New Age, New Spirituality, New World view.
And we actually have the original text of Barbara Marx Hubbard's book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, where she talks about Revelation 6-8 and the fact that I look and behold a pale horse, and power was given unto them to suddenly eliminate, you know, a quarter of the population of the earth by various means. And then she goes on to say, you know, of course, this is really what's going to happen. There are going to be those that do not want to evolve to a higher level of consciousness, and they're just going to have to be eliminated. But that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse, death. And we have those pages that came from her original text. We got it from several sources, so I'm sure it's accurate. And this is the woman, of course, who's one of the leaders of the New Age movement today, has worked at the highest levels of our government, and was actually a candidate for the vice presidency back in the 1980s, somewhere in there, for the Democratic nomination. Fortunately, she didn't get it. I'm not sure the people who got it were any better than she was, but, of course, at least we know exactly where Barbara Marx Hubbard is coming from, because she has a spirit guide that actually dictated her book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, where she openly talks about how, you know, we're going to have to eliminate a quarter of the world's population. That is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, that probably sounds pretty extreme to some of your listeners, but it happens to be true. I did a lot of research on her book, and she talks about the quantum change that's coming. The quantum leap, that phrase is already in our vocabulary, so it won't be that much to just make the literal quantum leap to the idea that God's in everyone and everything. This is the bottom line. We need to just maybe go over it one more time. The New Age says that we are all one because God is in everyone and everything. If you don't believe that, you are into separation. That's the horrible term. And that is Satan in the New Age. The only thing that's satanic in the New Age is not believing that God is in everyone and everything. The interesting thing is that Jesus, you know, on the Mount of Olives, talked to people and told them that they would be persecuted. And later on, he's very clear, and it's clear throughout the Bible, that, you know, Christians can lose their lives in the end times for believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, people would say, well, how can that be? The name of Jesus is so popular. You know, it's in the shack, it's in the New Age, but it's not the full name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's just Jesus. Their Jesus is not a Lord and Savior, because you don't need a Savior if you're already Christ and you're already God. So it's very, very deceptive. But Jesus warned, he said, they will hate you just as they hated me. They'll call you Beelzebub because they called me Beelzebub. But you don't hear that in today's crusades. You don't hear that in today's messages from people like Rick Warren, because obviously becoming a Christian and following the Lord is not a real simple thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's salvation itself. But it also incurs the wrath of the world. And that is expressed by Barbara Marx Hubbard.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
From the mountains to the prairie,
Well, this is Dr. Stan Warren. You go right ahead.
We were talking about this whole quantum field where God is in everyone and everything and every atom. That's Teilhard de Chardin. Leonard Sweet, who has done small group workshops with Rick Warren, he calls himself an evangelical Christian. He's a new rising leader in the church. He has basically gone on record as saying that this whole idea of quantum spirituality is what is happening. And he actually, this is unbelievable, Dr. Stan, but he actually expresses gratitude to pioneering New Age leader David Spengler for helping him with his new cell theory. Spengler says that the cell is the basic unit of the New Age. And here you have Leonard Sweet thanking David Spengler for helping him with his new cell theory. He was in correspondence with him, much as Saul was consulting the Witch of Endor in the Old Testament, which, you know, going to the occult for answers. This is what Leonard Sweet is doing, and this is what the church is doing. They're going to people like Robert Schuller, to people like David Spengler for answers, and everything has just gotten turned upside down. Interestingly, back to Annette Capps, this daughter of Charles Capps, the charismatic minister, with her book Quantum Faith, just to show how it's leached into the church already. She says in her little pamphlet, she says, "As I studied the theories of quantum physics, I was reminded of a prophecy given by my father, author and teacher Charles Capps. And the quote from her father was, 'Some things which have required faith to believe will no longer require faith, for it will be proven to be scientific fact.'" This is what John Marks Templeton was all about, the late John Marks Templeton. He was an occultist. His belief was in a shared divinity. Dave Hunt wrote about it, and T.A. McMahon wrote about it extensively in their books, The Seduction of Christianity. Rick Warren did a Power of Purpose. He was a judge for that Templeton Power of Purpose essay contest. And Templeton, his whole thing is to show how science can prove theology. And there are a number of books, if you go on the Templeton Press website.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Warren Smith. His book is A Wonderful Deception. It's a wonderful deception. We will be carrying it. We think it's an important book. And Sidney Warren is simply talking about this, the infiltration, the subversion of the Christian church today. And the fact that one of the most powerful movements in modern-day Christendom is headed by Rick Warren of the Purpose Driven Church. Rick Warren, who has been chosen by Time Magazine to lead the Christian church. Rick Warren, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Rick Warren, who has a network of ministries in 160-some nations throughout the world. Rick Warren, who is a disciple of Robert Schuller, who is a disciple of Norman Vincent Peale, and whether Rick Warren understands this or not, there are strong New Age messages in everything he does. And when he picks Eugene Peterson's book, The Message, and I won't bless it or give it any notoriety by calling it a version of the Bible, because it's not, has very little to do with the Bible. Why Eugene Peterson's writing, it's Eugene Peterson who backs the Shack, who endorses the Shack. All of these people, once you understand how they're working together, are to change Christian faith and to get us away from, you know, a belief in a God that we have to be subservient to, a God that certainly is a God of love, but a God that we must fear as well, the recognition that we're all sinners, saved by grace. All of these things are changing in this wonderful new world where God loves everyone, God is in everyone and everything, and under those circumstances, we don't even need a Savior, do we? Well, Warren, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your essays. I know you don't have a website, but of course you mentioned a place where people could get your work, and of course we do carry your three books.
Yeah, I'm got articles, and there's information on the author's website on lighthousetrailsresearch.com. My first book, The Light That Was Dark, the story of how I got involved in the New Age and then out of the New Age, It's particularly helpful to give to people that are entrapped by the New Age, because I go into great detail on how I was pulled in. A lot of it was through spiritual experience, and that's being emphasized in the emerging purpose-driven movement, that spiritual experience is trumping the Word of God. The Word of God is being minimized, marginalized, and almost cast aside. The other book is Deceived on Purpose, the New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. I have a book that's online. You can locate it through reinventingjesuschrist.com. It's also on that same website. And that was the book that really, after September 11th, I wrote that book, and I saw how all these New Age leaders were pouring across TV. They were on Oprah. Gary Zukav was on Oprah. Marianne Williamson, the author of Return to Love, who writes about The Course in Miracles, came on. And they're all saying, now that this has happened, we need a new way of looking at things. It's a new world. We need a new spirituality. And they were introducing the New Age teachings. Wayne Dyer, of course, has been on public television for years. His most recent book, Excuses Be Gone, was just featured heavily on public television. And in that book, it's interesting, he actually, I'm looking right now, page 6 of his book, he says, one of the pioneers of the new way of understanding DNA, Bruce Lipton, PhD, is a cell biologist who taught medical students before resigning to do research and lecture full-time. In a groundbreaking book called The Biology of Belief, Lipton writes that life is not controlled by genes. In fact, his research led him to the conclusion they're strictly blueprints. Then he goes on to say there's a field of invisible energy with a total absence of physical properties that creates the particles we call cells. And then he goes on and talks about, Lipton does in his book, about the quantum dialogue. So we even have Wayne Dyer now introducing the quantum stuff on public television. And this book that's always discounted at places like Costco and Sam's Club in the United States, there's a big circle on the front cover, and it says under his name and above the title of the book, as seen on public TV, as if that gives it some stamp of approval. Interestingly, after September 11th, Wayne Dyer said that what we need for peace are something like the principles of A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is what Oprah's been pushing for years, ever since 1992, when she said that the principles of A Course in Miracles could change the world. And that's the Course in Miracles that Schuller had on his Crystal Cathedral campus when pastors like Rick Warren were meeting and learning how to have big churches. And that's the same Course in Miracles that I studied when I was in the New Age. It's the Course in Miracles that is reputedly from Jesus, but it's another Jesus. It's a false Christ. And that false Christ says that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. He says, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. He says, the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. And then he completely does away with the notion of Satan. There is no Satan. There is no devil. The only Satan, again, according to the New Age, is not believing in your own divinity. Interestingly, Leonard Sweet, this man that Rick Warren has done lectures with, he did a presentation that was taped and put out to pastors years ago. He's done small group workshops with Leonard Sweet. He's endorsed Leonard Sweet's 1990 book, Soul Tsunami. And this whole thing that is going on between Sweet and quantum physics and everything else is being indirectly endorsed by Rick Warren by his endorsement on that book. So one of the sayings that Barbara Marx Hubbard had at the one-year anniversary of September 11th, she was at one of the universities in Texas. It's where the Bush Library is. I'm not sure if that's the University of Texas or Texas Tech. But at that one-year anniversary, she said, evolve or die. Rick Warren, in an article that he did, in a statement that he said, change or die. And then Leonard Sweet, in his book Soul Tsunami, says, reinvent yourself or die. And interestingly, Proverbs 24:21 says, not to meddle with those who are given to change. These change agents are changing the gospel. They're changing the Bible. They are disregarding. I mean, they are more concerned about their critics than the New Age that is completely blaspheming the man, Jesus Christ, that they're calling their Lord. They hardly even make mention of the fact that the New Age is completely reinventing Jesus Christ, and they instead misrepresent and try to come against their critics. So it's a very sad state of affairs, and I know in an interview that you and I did way back in 2002, Stan, chapter 10 of my book that again is online free, Reinventing Jesus Christ, the chapter title for chapter 10 was The Silent Church. And I asked the question, why aren't our Christian leaders warning about what's going on in the New Age? 3 months later, Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, came out. And when I read that book a little bit later, I realized that the reason that Christian leaders aren't talking about it is because they're leading the church right into the very spiritual trap that you and I talked about on that program back in 2002.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to have a question for our guest, who, of course, Warren Smith. He's been on the front lines of this battle for many years. This is the third in a series of books that he's written. The one thing I really like about the book is it starts out with a brief summary of Deceived on Purpose, and then, of course, you know, because repetition is how you learn, and a lot of these things you read and you never think of again, but of course you bring them back to life, and then of course you go on from there to actually develop this idea of how these ideas of the purpose-driven church are permeating every aspect of Christendom today. After all, if Rick Warren is leading the Christian church, he is the one who's been picked by Time magazine, he must have the answers. Well, he does. He has the answers that Time magazine and the Discovery Channel and the History Channel and the television networks and certainly Oprah Winfrey have, and they're all dedicated to the destruction of Christianity. In fact, Sidney Oprah Winfrey, Sidney has openly, not on one but on several occasions, invited Rhonda Burns to be there to actually discuss her book, The Secret. And of course, what is the theme of The Secret? Why, of course, there is a power there that you can tap into, a mysterious power, but you can tap into it. And the reason you can tap into it is because you are God. And she actually makes that statement. I mean, I'm reading this little book. I mean, how she can get $15 for this little tiny book, I don't know. Why would anybody be stupid enough to put out that amount of money? Of course, I put out that amount of money to get the book because it promised, you know, all sorts of wonderful benefits that you could actually, through the law of attraction, could manipulate reality, that you had the ability to manipulate everything in your environment, and anything you wanted, you could get through the law of attraction. Of course, the whole idea comes out of the occult. And the reason that you can do it is because you are God. Well, that was the devil's message in the Garden of Eden. You can be as God, and you shall never die. And unfortunately, so many good people, so many Christians, are anxious to get that benefit and get all the wonderful things that can come when we begin tapping into these other forces. But of course, and into mysticism, but we do it at the very risk of our eternal souls. So you pick up the story.
Well, Dr. Stan, did you happen to notice it was on the very first page of The Secret? Did you notice the saying that was at the very beginning of that book?
You're going to have to remind me.
As above, so below.
As above, so below.
On the very first page of that book. And this is the term that Rick Warren's apologists took me to task for bringing up. They minimized it, they marginalized it, they just made almost a joke of it. And there it was at the beginning of The Secret. And then later on in the book, as you pointed out, Rhonda Burns says, you are God in a physical body.
And of course, what this whole idea, you know, of mysticism and the fact that we can be as gods, that there is this secret power we can tap into. And the thing is, there really is this secret power we can tap into, but we had better not do it because, of course, this will lead to eternal damnation. And we will be one day standing before the great white throne of judgment, which so many of the people within the occult religions and secret societies look forward to, without knowing enough about the Bible to realize that the great white throne of judgment that they desire is, at least according to the scripture, the judgment of the damned.
What's so interesting, Dr. Stan, is that when I was giving a talk down in Southern California last fall woman came up afterwards and said, I've written a little article on the shack. Would you be willing to look at it? And I said, sure. And she wrote this article called Fractal Theory in the Shack. And this word fractal shows up in the book The Shack. The main character, Mackenzie Allen Phillips, initials MAP, as in map, exploring off the map, was a leadership network conference where Leonard Sweet and others, Margaret Wheatley and others, Peter Senge, were present. This word fractal means a fractured part of the whole. And what she did was she did some research and she found articles by occultists that used the word fractal and tied it in with the occult, tied it in with quantum physics, and tied it in with the term as above, so below. So really, in many ways, we are being deceived into believing that God is connecting everything. He's connecting all the dots and bringing the world into a connected, all-is-one landing at this horrible time in the history of the world, whereas the Bible warns that at the end of time, a false Christ will enter the world scene and pretend to be the real Christ and will seem to bring the world together under false pretenses. Spell it, all is one, God is in everyone, the quantum Christ. That is what's happening, and we have almost no response from Christian leadership. But this is not to be completely unexpected, because Jesus took the religious leaders of his time to task, and we are told, woe, God says, woe to the shepherds who lead the flock astray. If people are following men, including pastors, rather than the word of God, in Acts 17:11, the Apostle Paul commended the Bereans for comparing what he said to the Word of God, but you can't be comparing it to something like The Message or one of these really new offbeat translations. There are so many. Again, Rick Warren has 15 different Bible translations in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, The Message being the one that he quotes the most. We have to understand that when Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it, the word keep is throughout. This is not an automatic thing where you just mouth, Jesus, come into my life, and everything's wonderful forever. You have to follow the Lord. You have to keep his word. You have to endure to the end. You have to fight the good fight. You have to contend for the faith. You have to be willing to be persecuted. You have to be willing to be hated. But you don't hear any of that. It's just kind of the fluff. And it's very dangerous. But the reason, again, that I called my book A Wonderful Deception is because it seems so wonderful. Oprah does a lot of wonderful things, but she teaches a lot of horrible things. And that's what Jeremiah said. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. A lot of people think that the purpose-driven movement and the emerging church is a wonderful movement, but it's fraught with all sorts of false teachings. As a matter of fact, Alice Bailey, you know, we're talking about the emerging church. Alice Bailey, New Age matriarch, used the term emerging, emergent, or emerge over 1,000 times in her writings. It's a word that has been around for a long time, and what's really emerging is a false Christ with a new upside-down Bible that is completely contradicting the Word of God. The amazing thing is Jesus told us all this stuff ahead of time. He said, behold, I have told you before. Why? He said, so you won't be offended when these things happen. People that may be confused about some of the things we're talking about, read the Bible, an authoritative Bible, and pray to God and ask for direction and truth. You cannot just depend on your local pastor anymore because they have, unfortunately, compromised the Word of God.
Well, I think it's so interesting. Of course, you mentioned Alice Bailey and the use of the word emergent over 1,000 times in her writing, but people have forgotten. Alice Bailey did not write her books. They were channeled to her by a demonic spirit she called Joie Cool. So this was the word that was used by this demonic spirit. There really are people who channel ideas and thoughts and books from the spirit guides. Certainly, many of these, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky did this. Certainly, Barbara Marx Hubbard talks about the Christ spirit that channeled her book, Revelation.
David Spangler.
Right, and so all these books are channeled. And when you begin to understand that these are channeled, or whether it be Edgar Cayce, the others, many of the fortune tellers, the diviners, the astrologers, they're all channeling information from the other dimension.
And you know what, Dr. Stan? 1 Timothy 4:1 speaks to this in the Bible. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And Eugene Peterson's message completely does away with the spirit world. He says, "The Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up the faith and give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. These liars have lied so well and for so long, they've lost their capacity for truth." He's done away with the spirit world. Leonard Sweet and his definition of Satan.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
A short period of time, you must understand that books that really tell you the truth, you're not going to find in most Christian bookstores. You can order them, but of course if you don't see them, chances are you won't ever hear about them on radio. This is why this book is so vitally important. And we carry Warren's other two books, and one of them is Deceived on Purpose. The other, and so basically, you can go to our website and, or certainly get one of our catalogs, and they're listed. Or certainly call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. All three of his books are wonderful, but I think this last is the best as far as I'm concerned. A wonderful deception, but we advise and we recommend all three of Warren's books. He's a very courageous individual who is viciously attacked by the people who are associated with the purpose-driven church, because, of course, the last thing they want is for people ever to question what they're being told by the man who's been selected by Time magazine to lead modern-day Christendom. Well, there really is a conspiracy against God today. That's the subject of my talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book which we recommend. We hope you'll want to get that. We hope you'll listen to my talk on The Forbidden Secret, my talk on the financial Armageddon that goes into the background of what's going on today. So these will help you to understand the spiritual forces behind what is going on today. So we do hope that you'll get the information, that you'll help to get us out, help to disseminate it, and then join us in this truly epic struggle. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can go there and you can watch our DVDs, many of them for free. You can listen to our radio programs live, a satellite transmission 9 hours a day, archived, blog, MP3. Certainly you can read our newsletters. They're all there. We want you to get the information. We want you to understand the spiritual battle. We put together a 3-pamphlet set called The Occult Hierarchy. You need to understand it. We have a book called Satanic Crimes and a 4-tape set on Satanic Crimes. We have the wonderful book that Warren talked about that really led him away from the New Age. It was called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Joanna Michelson. And we have, of course, my interviews with Joanna Michelson in a 4-tape set called The Supernatural. That's The Supernatural. We actually have so much information there. We want you to get it. We want you to study it. We want you to understand the true nature, not only of the physical and political, ideological, and financial forces at work, but the spiritual forces behind everything. And then, of course, we have this wonderful five DVD sets, there's two of them, part one and part two, each with five DVDs, The Final Countdown, which will help you to bring into focus what is taking place today, with, of course, what is occurring from a prophetic point of view. And you can't understand any of the things taking place unless you look at it through the lens of the Bible and prophecy. So that's The Final Countdown, 10 DVDs. You can get part one, part two, or get them both together. We have Pastor Billy Crone's, I think it's 4D DVD set on RFID identification. You need to understand everything is being done so that everybody can be identified and tracked. And he's done a wonderful job with his 4 DVD set because, of course, he's taken the video footage from the people who are producing the chips and tell you exactly what they're doing with them. And then, of course, we have the 10 DVD set on creation, and we'll be doing a series of interviews with Pastor Crone on that. We have his personal testimony, Get a Life. It's only one DVD, but it's a fascinating insight into Pastor Billy Crone, who we believe has a remarkable message which every American should hear. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.